The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
You don't produce a Kieran Kilkenny or an Oisín Mullen. You don't produce them overnight. They take time, takes a lot of work, massive loss for his club, but he's meant for professional sport.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
OTB AM
with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
Delighted Sandy Mitten is with us this morning. Andy, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay, thank you.
Very interesting team selection yesterday. Very interesting decisions made by Michael Carrick around who he thought should take the field to try and win the game. What kind of a job did Michael Carrick do yesterday, do you think? And what's your take on the dropping of Cristiano?
I thought Michael Carrick had a good week in difficult circumstances. If you'd have said to me last Monday morning, Manchester United would beat Villarreal away 2-0 and hold the European champions away, having taken the league, I would have accepted that. I think most Manchester United fans would have as well. It's been really bad, and that led to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer losing his job. So when I saw the lineup yesterday, I wasn't stunned. I wasn't stunned at Tottenham a few weeks ago either, when United changed the formation for that. And the thinking behind it was United needed all of their players to work incredibly hard for every minute they were on the pitch, and that Cristiano Ronaldo, well, he came on. He didn't even work hard for 30 minutes, let alone the full 90 had he would have started and finished, because he lost Christian Pulisic, I think it was, who put a cross in for that chance for Chelsea right at the end. So I can understand the reasons, and I think we might see more of it. From my understanding, Ronaldo was never brought to play every single week. Same with Edinson Cavani. Now with Cavani, I won't mind seeing him play once in a while, because his season is similar to the start of last season, where he's barely featuring and he finished it really strong. So that's a shame. But I thought Carrick got it pretty spot on at Chelsea, and they're really in form. I'd asked Michael Carrick on Friday about the way Chelsea play, and he spoke in more detail than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would have done about an opponent, which I quite enjoyed listening to a manager talking tactically. And United nearly nicked it. They went ahead. It's really weird to see Manchester United so deep, so defensive, but needs must at the moment. This is a team that's been conceding fours and fives, and I think United getting a result there is not a bad result at all. I was still annoyed though when Chelsea equalised, so I don't think I'll ever be happy not seeing Manchester United not win.
Jesus, fairly damning on Solskjaer, isn't it, that United going to Chelsea with absolutely zero ambition, such a negative lineup, is sort of seen as a success for Michael Carrick, because they had to set up not to be beaten 4-5-0. Like, that's how far United had fallen over the last few weeks.
Well, both games were 0-0 last season, so you could argue exactly the same thing happened last season under Solskjaer. But I take the point. Look at the league table. Look where Manchester United are. They've clearly been massively underperforming this season. So what was the option? Try and attack them and get another hammer in while the confidence is still fragile, or go for the side which plays so deep? I tweeted that the Manchester United players are so deep, if they go any further back, they're going to be in the River Thames behind the shed end. And it felt like that at times, but it worked. It's a 1-1 draw, and United have got to start picking up the pieces from somewhere. I thought the result in Villarreal was really good. If you'd have said to me at half-time in the Villarreal game at Old Trafford in September that Manchester United will be coming out of this Champions League group with a game to spare, I would have found that a stretch. But that's what happened. And these players have come through a rough time. A lot of the problems are on them as well. Yes, the manager should take some of the criticism, and it's cost him his job. But a lot of them players have been massively underperforming too.
What are you hearing about the Ralf Rangnick signing and his involvement into the future beyond the next few months? Is this a significant sea change in terms of how they want the whole club to be run? What's the point of that?
I'm hearing of the five people who were interviewed, he was the most impressive one, and Rudy Garcia was the second most impressive one. Garcia came back for a second interview on Wednesday morning. That was the day that the story broke about Ralf Rangnick. I've heard of him, I'd read about him, I'd seen his teams, but when something like that happens, I speak to people who know far more than I do. And I know professional footballers in Germany, former professionals, agents, and they all came back with pretty glowing reports about him, although they did say he's totally intense, he'll demand full control. And that leads into your question about how much control he'll get at Manchester United, which is this big corporation with a global reach. And he has worked for corporations before. He worked at RB, which is even more corporate than Manchester United. He's 63. If he comes in as interim manager, as everybody expects, then he'll choose the teams that he thinks will win football matches. You saw the words from people like Thomas Tuchel, Jurgen Klopp, his compatriots before the game at the weekend. They spoke really glowingly, almost in awe of them. United fans just want to see the team fighting and playing well again, because this season started with high expectations and then imploded. And look at the recent league run of matches. I think Manchester United have won 1 in 6, 1 in 7. That was that game at Tottenham. So Ranić, it does seem odd, because one of the people I spoke to said he's a builder. He takes time to build projects. And how much of a project can he build in 6 months? But maybe it will be the case that he steadies the ship, if you like, and then he retains a significant influence as Manchester United continue to build onwards and hopefully upwards in the eyes of the fans. I think fans have welcomed the news about him, certainly those who knew about him. Others have been reading up about him. And United fans have been pretty desperate, because it's been that bad. In some cases, it's like, we need someone who's better at his job than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That said, the fans have continued to sing about Ole Gunnar in Villarreal at Stamford Bridge. And I spoke to him when I was in Villarreal, and I know he really appreciated that support from the fans.
So, Andy, do you think then that Ragnick's appointment is a standalone appointment, that he's there to get the best out of this Manchester United team until the end of the season? Or is it a sort of seismic shift in how United are going to operate, that he will have a role, whether it's as manager or as something else, over the next 2 or 3 years, that will dictate who the next manager is, the style of football, what they want to be as a football club as opposed to a business? Do you see this as something that's going to have a long-lasting consequence for how United go about things?
The club would always argue that they're a football club over a business, and people might see it differently because United are so commercially successful, and sometimes it does look overly commercial. But in terms of football decisions and who's picking the team, it's always been the managers who've been there. So if he comes in purely as a manager, I'd expect him to pick the team, make the tweaks. You can see the changes that a manager mid-season can make. The best example of that, the one that a lot of fans almost cling on to, is what Tuchel did at Chelsea when he came in midway through last season. My understanding on Ranić was that, and someone said to me the day before it broke, we've got to get a game, it's a no-brainer, and he's extremely experienced and he'll come, but he wants assurances that he'll stay on after the end of this season. So that would lead me to think that there's some kind of role upstairs. Maybe that is a sporting director role. Maybe he does bring in the coach, the person he anoints. Maybe he comes in and sees that Michael Carrick is incredibly fantastic coach in his eyes and thinks, this is the future. I don't think any of that has been decided yet. I don't think Manchester United have decided or got any agreement to bring in Ten Hag from Ajax or Mauricio Pochettino from Spurs. And this whole situation was thrown onto United by a rapid decline in results in the last 2 months. Up until Watford last week, Manchester United wanted it to work out with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It didn't work out. He lost his job. He gets that. That's football. But the exact details of what Ranić's going to do will be made clearer. I still don't think it's been fully sorted out.
You can see any of those outcomes being possible, right? Where Ranić comes in and does really well and actually they give him the job. You can see where he comes in and does well enough where he's given the opportunity to pick somebody, and then the transfer policy changes to be more akin to what it has been at the various places that he's worked, and they sign those high energy young players, and they sign a load of them, and that the business model goes away from signing the Galacticos. What is the implication for Ronaldo's long term or medium term future at Manchester United, do you think, either way, with the arrival of Ranić?
Well, going off what you've just said, and you're quite right, he's tended to sign very energetic, young, emerging players. Maybe he's had to sign that because his team were not the most dominant in the transfer market where he was working in Germany. At Manchester United, he's got a different type of player there. He has got some of them, where you called them Galacticos, but world-class players. I always remember Carlos Queiroz telling me that when he first arrived at the club, Ferguson said to him, "You take training this morning." And he felt like he'd been handed the keys to a Ferrari because he had all these incredibly top-level players there. And there are still top-level players there. I know pros who've been in at Manchester United this season and they've trained with them or they might have gone out on loan and they say that the levels in training are really high. Now, you might laugh at that because the results have been so poor. But Ranić's got to come in and the first thing he's got to do is stop the team conceding goals, get the team winning again. He'll absolutely be expected to reach the Champions League next season. That's if United are not going to win it this season, which at the moment seems fanciful. And if he's winning, you know what fans are like? If he wins 10 games on the trot, people will be singing Ralph whatever and saying that let's keep with this guy, he's fantastic. And I'm sure he'll get carried away with all of that as well if that was to happen. If he does so, talk will move towards who's going to replace him for next season. He's got to get the results. It's on him, first of all, to get results. He can't come in talking about philosophies and not be winning matches. People will only listen to him if he's winning matches. And of course, people will pay attention to the style in which Manchester United play. It was very defensive at Chelsea, but again, it's Manchester United with all these great attacking players. You can't set up defensively against Norwich at Old Trafford or even Arsenal on Thursday or Crystal Palace on Sunday. We've got a run of games now coming at Old Trafford. So I'm really interested to see tactically what's going to happen when he comes in, as he's expected to come in, how he uses his other coaches. But what he's got to do more than anything is get results. There's a big run of games coming up. You've got all the midweek Premier League games, which we've not been having, and steady the ship and look like it's pointing in a more forward direction to what it has been doing.
Will Ronaldo need managing if he's not in the team every week? Because the debate is obviously ongoing, and Roy Keane and Jamie Carragher went on it yesterday of, you know, he scores goals, but you know, even in that half an hour yesterday, United looked probably a lesser team with Ronaldo on the pitch than off the pitch. If he isn't playing every week, do you see that becoming a big situation that Rangnick is going to have to dedicate a lot of time to keeping Ronaldo, and not just Ronaldo and his people, happy?
Managers make the decisions that are right for the team and for the club, end of. No one player is bigger than the club. Ronaldo has scored some brilliant goals. I think he's still absolutely got something to offer, and he's not getting any younger. I think yesterday was the right decision, because I'm saying that now because United have got a decent result there. But as you said, when he came on, United actually looked inferior. And as I said earlier on, he lost Pulisic, which could have set up the winner for Chelsea towards the end. So there'll be some interesting conversations there, definitely. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know whether Ralph's going to come in and put his arm around him and say, "We're going to build this team around you," or, "You absolutely do not fit into my style whatsoever and you can go in January." I just don't know, because I'm not making that decision. What I do know is that when he came in August, it was a big surprise for everybody at the club. His signing was landed right on the club. Now, commercially, it was a big success. I don't know many United fans who didn't celebrate him coming back to Old Trafford either. And that atmosphere around those first games, that Newcastle game when he came back, it was incredible. And that's what football can sometimes do, but that bubble is long gone. Now, from Ronaldo's perspective, his stats are still good. He's still getting winners. He's still scoring great goals. Great goal at Tottenham, key goal in Atalanta, winners against Villarreal against Atalanta. So I think he's still got something. And that's for a smarter footballing mind and mind to work out how Manchester United use him. I just don't know the question. Clearly he's got a big ego. Clearly he's influential in the dressing room. Before the Watford game, he was the one who tried to get the players together and say, this hasn't been good enough. We've got to be, got to give more, et cetera, et cetera. I've not heard any examples of him putting, throwing a big sulk in, but then again, he's not used to being a substitute either. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Cristiano Ronaldo.
The makeup of the squad is actually quite good if you were to take Ronaldo out, in terms of particularly the front players. They are young and energetic. There is definitely an issue around Rashford's form at the moment. How well is Rashford playing? How much better does he need to play to be a regular contributor at this level for Manchester United at the moment?
Don't think he did anything in the first half yesterday, but you could say that of a lot of players up front, because they weren't getting much of the ball. I thought he did well after the first half. Start of the second half, I thought he looked pretty impressive. He's got to improve. He's had a real up and down year, laced with injury, but we've not been seeing the Marcus Rashford that he wants to see himself, and he's got to improve. With Jadon Sancho, who's another young attacker, he had a good week. He got his first goal and a great goal in Villarreal. He scored again at Stamford Bridge. So baby steps for him, but definitely encouraging. With Anthony Martial, he's nowhere at the moment. He'd started under Michael Carrick, and he's really struggled. A lot of United fans have not got much faith in Anthony Martial. And then you've got the other more mature attackers, Cavani, Ronaldo. So, yes, Rashford needs to raise his game, but I could say that of 80% of the players. I could say even more of Bruno Fernandes, whose form has really dropped off. And he was pointing to the away fans at Watford last week, saying, don't blame him, i.e. the manager, blame us. Yeah, we certainly will. Now, with Bruno, he was dropped.
He's got to be careful with that, isn't he? Like, do you know, it's great. It's great fronting up now, but like maybe front up on the field.
Well, you're right, because he's been poor. And he was dropped in Villarreal, and he deserved to be dropped. But when he came on, he did really well, and Marcus Rashford did well too. So, got all these little ups and downs. What United need is more consistency from all of those players. Fergie always said it's, you know, you need 8 out of your 11 playing to win, be winning matches. At times this season, it's been 2 or 3 with Manchester United. And Bruno's baffling because he was so good. He was that rocket fuel when he arrived in January 2020, and he was seen as being Manchester United's best player by a distance, and that hasn't been the case in the last couple of months. And you'd look for somebody like him to help get Manchester United out of this slump. He makes those wonderful passes. Yes, he loses the ball because he takes more risks than other players, but Bruno is one of several players who needs to get his form back.
And I guess so much focus is going to be on Ronaldo and what he does with Ronaldo. Actually, maybe Fernandes is the key for Rangnick over the next few months, because he has carried a club on his shoulders before. When he was at Sporting Lisbon, there was probably no team in Europe that was as much as a one-man team as they were with Bruno Fernandes. And as you say, maybe he was the best player in the Premier League for the first year when he came in. Something seems to have gone wrong, though. Like, his attitude, as much as anything else, like the throwing the arms around, the constantly at referees. I know yesterday, I think, was his fourth booking already, so he's on the verge of, you know, getting a suspension for that. That mentally, whatever about his actual all-round game, just something seems off with Bruno Fernandes that Rangnick's going to have to fix pretty quickly.
Yeah, and he actually lifted Manchester United. It wasn't just the sporting club. When he came to Old Trafford, the team without him were 30% inferior. I noticed at Wolves away at the start of this year that he was being particularly petulant. I think I tweeted during the game, he needs to keep his mouth shut, because I started noticing what has now become a trait to his game, the whinging, and I don't like to see it. I don't know why he's doing it. I don't think it helps his game. Maybe it's frustration because things aren't coming off, because he's not playing as well as he did do, because he's not been as effective as he was. But he needs to get back to where he was, or try to. And again, it's down to a smarter football brain than my one, an experienced football brain, who's going to come in and see which players he wants to fit into his system. And I'm sure he's got his opinions on all of those Manchester United players.
It's a really interesting period, right? This transfer window, because already they're talking about Ranieri's going to come in and there's going to be a clear out of players, and we haven't even mentioned Pogba. So you're the owners, and or Ed Woodward or whoever, if it's going to be Richard Arnold, the new chief executive, making these decisions, and you're giving this guy 6 months, but this transfer window is going to be hugely important, and he might come in and do something, and your new manager might be like, geez, I really wish I had all those players you let go. So it feels like the transfer window will show us how committed they are to his ideology into the future. And if they've decided that his ideology is going to be the defining ideology over the next 2.5-3 seasons, and it will be a project, then he gets rid of Pogba and he gets rid of Ronaldo and maybe he gets rid of Bruno in this transfer window. And you're like, okay, we see exactly the type of player that he wants, and brings in some younger players or some players who will be more akin to his style of play. Like, that's all up for grabs, isn't it?
Well, I've not heard anywhere that the manager's going to come in and get rid of loads of players. What I have heard is that other coaches saying this Manchester United team should be doing far better with their existing players, and that tactically they're not being as smart as they could be. I'd be stunned if Ralph Rangnick came in and got rid of 6 players in January and brought 6 players in. Stranger things have happened. But I think from Manchester United's perspective, they've spent a fortune on players. There's actually a very good squad there. Someone's got to get them playing again. And I won't be surprised if there were no transfers in January. You mentioned Paul Pogba, but that's on Pogba. That's not on the club. Pogba's been offered a new contract and he's decided not to sign that new contract, which is his right. Fans don't like it, but then a lot of fans have been wholly unconvinced by Paul Pogba as well. And his performances on the pitch have completely underwhelmed since he arrived from Turin in 2016. So again, it's on the manager. He's got to work out this puzzle. He might come in and say, you know what, Pogba, he ain't going to play again. Ronaldo is not going to play again. Or he might put Ronaldo in net because he thinks that's the right way forward. Whoever it is and whatever he does, he's got to get Manchester United winning again. Wins blow the clouds away. Performances come second to that. But look at that league table at the moment. And it is absurd that a team who spent so much money with all of those wonderful players are, what, 8th in the league? I've not even dared look at the league table this morning. 8th.
It's not great. 8th. Come here. Last one for you then. It's like you keep saying, you've referenced it a couple of times, we expect that it will be Rangnick. Is there any room for doubt at this stage, or is that just... the official announcement, we don't know when it's expected. There hasn't been an announcement of a press conference imminent or any of that kind of stuff just yet. What's the delay?
I've not heard of any announcement yet. The last thing I heard was he was respectful to Lokomotiv Moscow, as were Manchester United. As I said, United was still interviewing managers up until last Wednesday when the news broke. I also said Rangnick was the most impressive candidate, followed by Rudy Garcia, who was asked to come back to Old Trafford for a second interview. I've not been told anything to say that Rangnick is not happening, nor have been told that there's a press conference at 4 o'clock today. I could end this call now and look at my emails and there might be that announcement, and I wouldn't be stunned. I would expect that to be the case and for Ralph Rangnick to come in. I just don't know when that is going to happen.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, Andy. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Thank you.
It's Andy Mitten there from United We Stand. You can read the stuff in The Athletic and, of course, in ESPN as well.
OTB AM
with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.